We do have the Mariners GM with us, and I'll ask him about the prospects here in just a second, including Elvis Alvarado, who I'm pretty excited about, converted outfielder, 20 years old, a flamethrower. But, Jerry, first off, I guess I'll just ask you for your general impressions of how this year's trade deadline came and went. What did you think of the overall market?
You know, it was incredibly quiet for the days, even weeks leading up to the deadline, perhaps more so than I've ever experienced in my baseball life. But the flurry of activity on the last day, particularly in the last, 60 to 90 minutes, was as big a rush as any I've felt in the position. And, we were involved, but there were so many big trades, so many splashy moves. I thought that it was an exciting couple of hours for most fans around the country, and it was exciting to be a part of it. It was pretty high intensity in our war room for about an hour, hour and a half there.
Yeah, Jerry, you mentioned that period of time, but I heard also that it got even closer than that. I mean, you were talking about seconds at one point. Was there ever a chance where you're like, man, we better hurry up and get this in, or we're going to miss the deadline? I mean, it sounds like it was going pretty fast and furious there.
I really did. We couldn't have been more prepared for what we were doing. And in this particular instance, the final trade that we made on the day, the trade that sent Mike Leake to Arizona, literally came together with about 16 minutes left in the deadline. And because it was a nuanced trade that required a lot of different approvals, including waiving a no trade and obviously cash changing hands, which requires commissioner's office approval. There were some, I guess, anxiety filled moments leading up to the deadline for us. And the Diamondbacks were also in the midst of another high profile trade, sending Zach Greinke to the Astros. So we were effectively running a lot of the Mike Leake trade from here in Seattle. And then it was comedy, really, how quickly it was moving. And one of our guys was watching the commissioner's office clock and had timed it down to 68 seconds when our assistant GM, Justin Hollander, finally hit the send key and we were good to go.
Jerry, what about Danny mentioned the prospects that you got back, the Hunter Strickland and Roenis Elias going to the Nationals. What can you tell us about the two lefties you got and the right-handed converted outfielder?
Really excited to grab the arms. I said yesterday, it's not easy to add that much depth to your system and really backfill that kind of pitching talent in one day. And it was a really exciting day for us as a result. I guess I'll start in order of proximity to the big leagues. Taylor Gilbo, who is the oldest of the players we acquired, is presently in AAA, and none of these guys have ever pitched in the big leagues. And Taylor is in AAA. He's enjoying a really good year after a breakout fall last year in the Arizona Fall League. He throws in the mid-90s. His fastball is touched as high as 98. Left-hander who throws from a little lower slot. I wouldn't call it sidearm, but it's somewhere low three quarters. Ball really eats up a left-hand hitter, and he has an excellent slider. It's a three-pitch guy who oddly has reverse splits where he gets the righties out even just a little bit better than the lefties, but he's been good against both sides, runs a pretty high strikeout rate, has a good history of throwing the ball over the plate, and we feel like is trending north as a young player. We expect to see Taylor here in the weeks ahead, whether that be sometime in August or in early September remains to be seen, but he's close and we feel like he's about ready to contribute. Secondly, we have Aaron Fletcher, who was the other player, left-hand pitcher we picked up from the Nationals. He was pitching at Double A. Aaron's 23 years old, throws in the low 90s, has a wicked slider and a really deceptive delivery. We feel like there's the potential to refine a third pitch. He has a history as a starter dating back to his days in college and in the low minors. We're probably going to leave him in a bullpen role and try to develop Aaron Fletcher as a multi-inning reliever and see where that takes us. He'll report to Arkansas and join a really talented Travelers team and a really talented Travelers bullpen. But we feel like he has major league potential. And the last player was Elvis Alvarado, who it's just fun. The best way to term it is just a young player with limitless upside. and we're not quite sure what it's going to look like. He's about 6'5", 6'6". He's a converted outfielder who throws up to 100 miles an hour, averages in the high 90s with his fastball, still very unrefined with his secondary stuff. It all comes in flashes, and very unrefined in his ability to consistently throw strikes. But it is a huge arm for a 20-year-old kid. And we thought in context of a deal like this that the risk was well worth the potential reward. And we're going to send him to the Arizona Summer League down in Peoria and see where it takes us.
We're talking to Jerry DePoto here, our weekly visit with the Mariners GM. Jerry, from the bigger picture of where your team is at right now in terms of the team building, we've seen the shift of moving a lot of the guys who were big league mainstays, guys like Mike Zunino and Robinson Cano, even someone like Edwin Diaz, to shift to trying to prepare for the future. What's the next step for you guys? Because I know that there's still room to make some deals, but you've largely made that shift in terms of your personnel. Mike Leake and Roannis Elias being two guys who are big league contributors right now. What's sort of the next step in building your team?
I think the next step is nearby. We've been dealing with a ton of injuries. I think presently we have 14 players on the injured list. We expect to get a few of them back here in the next few days even, but particularly in these next couple of weeks. And we're looking forward to that, getting back guys like Haniger and D. Gordon and potentially, hopefully at some time in August, Felix Hernandez. And the next step for us is very likely the first wave of young players that start to arrive. And that's going to happen very likely the final week in August. And as we head into September, where you will start seeing the next waves and a few players that will be obvious additions for us will be Jake Fraley, Justice Sheffield. I think we're very likely once we get into September to take a look at a number of players who are currently playing in Arkansas and add them once the AA Texas League postseason is done. And really have the chance over the last two or three weeks of the season to see these young guys play and give us something to look forward to in 2020. And that's all about experience. I think you're seeing now with guys like Daniel Vogelbach and J.P. Crawford, most notably, when you give experience, I guess you could say the same in 2018 about Marco Gonzalez. When you give experience or the opportunity for playing time to talented young players, it really doesn't take them very long to turn into productive major leaguers. So we're excited about what happens, not just in these next 2 months, but between now and midseason next year. It really should be an exciting time to watch a lot of good young players grow.
Last thing for you, Jerry, how is Justice Sheffield's season gone for him?
You know, Jeff had a terrible start to his season in Tacoma. It's been really three different seasons for Justice. Could not have been better than more impressive than he was in Major League camp. I believe he went the entire camp without surrendering a run and was dominant, ran a very high strikeout rate, was topping out at 95, 96 miles an hour in February and March. And then when we left for Japan, he went off to join the Tacoma Rainiers and had a really rough go in Tacoma. Now, there's no question he had a really tough start to his season, particularly his command. And I think he was trying too hard to impress and show us that he was worth the value of the trade, so to speak. And he just got outside of himself. And we thought it was best to send him back to Arkansas and let him gather himself and save his season because it was trending in the wrong direction. And at this point, I think it's been 8 starts, maybe 9. He starts today down in Arkansas, and he's been phenomenal. He has regained command of his pitches. We're seeing that same kind of high-end velocity. He sits around 93, 94, touches 96 or 7 on most nights. He has done a phenomenal job in refining his slider and introducing his changeup. And in short, I think Justin Dunn is probably the front runner to be the Texas League's Pitcher of the Year this year. And there's no question that Justice Sheffield has been the best pitcher in that league over the last month and a half since we sent him back from Tacoma. And his next move is very likely to be to Seattle. It's just a matter of whether that happens in August or in September.
Jerry, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
You guys, appreciate it.